The sari is gorgeous, a deep purplish maroon with intricate embroidery. But it's not flowers or geometric patterns. I see pictures of a family sitting down for a meal. They wear Western clothes, the women in yellow skirts, the men in green jackets. There's a dog. This, says Mata Virani, is called a tan choi sari.
If you break the word up, tan and choi. Tan is three and choi means who has come from China.
Three brothers from Gujarat went to China to trade and they brought this style of embroidery back to India along with Chinese vases and jade Buddhas. India's Parsi community embraced this style. This sari, says Virani, is a special one. She's showing me around an exhibition of the history of Parsis in India, hosted by the Parzor Foundation.
This is Dr. Homi Bhabha's mother's tanchoi.
Homi Bhabha was known as the father of India's nuclear program, but his mother wanted him to settle down and get married. She bought that sari.
She had actually brought it for Dr. Homi Bhabha's to-be wife, but Dr. Homi Bhabha never married. And this was donated to Parzor Foundation very graciously.
This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. The Parsis, followers of the faith of Zoroastrianism, fled from Iran to India between the 8th and 10th centuries to escape religious persecution. They prospered mightily in India. Parsis are famous as industrialists, educationists, philanthropists. But low birth rates and emigration have caused the population to keep falling. According to the 2011 census, there are about 57,000 Parsis in India. Some say by 2020, it will be down to 23,000. This sari tells two stories. On one hand, it's a story of saris donated to the foundation because there aren't enough brides to wear them in a graying community. But it's also a story of crossing borders. Westernized patterns on Indian saris embroidered in China. Hand-embroidered saris called gara that followed the trade winds.
It moves from Afghanistan to Iran, picks up, takes in influences of Turkish influences, takes Chinese influences, takes Mughal influences, and then you develop ornate pieces like the gara as well.
Next to the saris are elaborate standalone sari borders as well, called kors.
So the China Chini Kor, it's a sari border, and this is a beautiful gold lace border. It has an elaborate process. A nice young Chinese man, along with some beautiful ornate flowers in sequins. There is net, and there is beautiful silver thread that has gone through the entire course. There is also a zardozi core, there is a velvet core here, and there is a beautiful gold lace core.
The intricate stitches have their own story.
The stitch you see is this elaborate stitch called the forbidden stitch or the khakha stitch. Now, the forbidden stitch was primarily called forbidden because they forbade women to take the stitch because women who completed such a beautiful sari would eventually turn blind.
The Parzor Foundation has tried to save that knowledge to pass it on to new generations. They found an old lady who still knew how to do the forbidden stitch. They set up a workshop with her.
Just a few days before that, the lady who knew how to do the khakha stitch turned blind. She lost her sight. So it's very unfortunate. We do not know, but we do think that maybe the khakha stitch is lost to the world.
The stitch might be lost, but the work remains, and not just in saris. Virani points to a picture on the wall, a portrait of a beautiful young woman. She says that's her favorite.
Yeah, is this a picture or a photograph or a painting or what is this? Yes, this is embroidered.
But it looks like a painting.
So this is Jarvanu Kanga of Nagpur. She died in childbirth in 1925. The embroidered portrait was commissioned by her husband.
No one knows who stitched it. But the widower took the hand-embroidered portrait of his wife to China. And from there, it returned home to India. And now it hangs in this exhibition, telling the story of a remarkable community, one stitch at a time. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.